Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey shares his thoughts and reflections on this week's gospel, as well as other issues and events happening in the diocese.
On this Pentecost Sunday, we welcome you to Our Shepherd's View. I am Jesse DeLeon, here with the Most Reverend Bishop Michael Mulvey. Good morning, Bishop. How are you this morning?
Fine. And you?
I'm doing well. Very glad to be here and thankful that our air conditioning is working.
Yes. I hope you're going to get a vacation this summer as well.
Hoping to find some time to get away. And I hear you're going to be possibly taking some time off soon. Maybe going somewhere where the heat isn't quite as stifling.
I hope to go someplace cooler.
We know that we have a lot of visitors in the area who may be visiting on their vacations, and we welcome them. Our gospel today is from St. John. If you would now proclaim that for us, Bishop.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood in their midst, and he said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord, and Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, today, being Pentecost, you think of the name. It's not a name that we know a lot about, but I kind of dug in a little bit to do a little background research on it. And I looked up the definition, and the Catechism said that it is the 50th day of the end of the 7 weeks of Easter. And it went on to say that the first Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was manifested, given, and communicated as a divine person to the church, fulfilling the paschal mystery of Christ according to his promise. And then, of course, it goes on to say, annually the church celebrates the memory of the Pentecost event as the beginning of the new age of the church, when Christ lives and acts within his church. It's a lot to think about. It's 7 weeks after Easter.
Yes. Well, Pente would be a word for 5 or 50. Pentecost meaning the 50th day after the resurrection of the Lord. And so it really completes, as we say, this is the completion of the Paschal mystery. So no longer after this Sunday will the Easter candle be lit in the church, except for baptisms and funerals and other special occasions. But normally, on a day-to-day, as we enter into more ordinary time, we don't have the Easter candle. But so this is the conclusion of that, the Paschal mystery, the full cycle here. It's also the time, we say, of the birth of the church, the beginning of the church. The Spirit is given now and poured out, as we see from the Acts of the Apostles, that the Spirit came and entered as a gentle breeze, a wind coming into the room where there was the apostles, and one of the accounts says Mary and a few of the others were there with them, came in the form of a flame that split into different flames and rested upon them. So we have the Spirit represented as fire. We see in another place in the Gospels as a dove. And from the Old Testament, we see the gentle breeze of God's presence, of the Spirit of God coming through. And so the Spirit is that Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of the relationship between the Father and the Son. It's the Spirit of love.
And nothing to be afraid of.
Nothing to be afraid of. Absolutely not. I think what's important for us to is perhaps, I think today we're going to discuss really the role of the Spirit in our lives. But before we do that, it's really important that we understand the mystery of the giving of the Spirit, the coming of the Spirit, as engrafted in the Paschal mystery. Because sometimes people get the wrong impression that the Spirit is also a spirit of freedom, which it is, or liberation, but it's not a liberation from, it's a liberation to, in this sense, that it's not a liberation from all authority. As Jesus had given authority, in fact, he gives it right here in the gospel, you know, all authority has been given to me, and I'm giving it to you as the Father has sent me, now I send you. So it's not a kind of a spirit of do what you want. I have the Spirit, you don't. The Spirit told me, and it's in contradiction to what you say. And so that's chaos.
I'm going at my own pace, marching to my own beat, going at my own rhythm.
Right. I've had people come up to me and say, well, the Holy Spirit told me to do this, and I was the one in authority. And I said, well, strange you didn't tell me that, you know. So it's we have to be very careful that we don't see the Holy Spirit as the spirit of chaos. Everybody on their own, individualism, etc. It's the Spirit that unites. And how can we say that? Because the true test, I think, for us is to look where the Spirit comes from. And we would say, well, Pentecost, well, yes, but let's step back a little bit into the Paschal mystery, because this is part of, Pentecost is a part of, it's the bookend of the Paschal mystery. And so if we travel back a bit of time and weeks, we find in Matthew's gospel and in John's gospel that it was on the cross that Jesus, because the Spirit comes, proceeds from the Father and the Son, and through the Son's mystery of the cross. And so for that reason, we can explicitly see that it was on the cross that Jesus bowed his head and gave up, in other words, gifted the Spirit. So it's not separated from the mystery of Christ. The Holy Spirit is not separated from the mystery of Christ. As if, okay, Jesus finished, he ascended into heaven, and now the Father sends the Spirit. No.
And he said, I commend my Spirit.
Right. Commend my Spirit. Right. I turn it over. And so he breathed his last and gave over the Spirit, St. John said. So at that moment, then, is the gift that Jesus gave as a personal gift. When you give a gift, when I give a gift, we deprive ourselves of it. You know, I don't give you a gift and say, well, it's still partly mine. I've given it away. And so in that sense, the Spirit is profoundly linked to the mystery of Christ's death and resurrection. So once that's said, then we can see that we can see the centrality of the cross in our life. And that it is really in those moments of deep, maybe sometimes not so deep, but of weakness that the Spirit comes and aids us. St. Thomas Aquinas says that the Spirit perfects our spirit in order to assist us in refraining from evil in order to love. The Spirit perfects our spirit. I don't use my own spirit anymore, the Holy Spirit, and everything's that I am the Holy. It's almost as if I am the Holy Spirit. No, the Spirit perfects our spirit. And so we are there as Christ was his own personality in his humanity. The Spirit was there perfecting that human life of Christ. And so the Spirit in our life, to make it practical for us, makes Christ present in us. And so we cannot, it's freedom to do what you want. It's a freedom to bring us deeper into the mystery of Christ. The Spirit helps us to live the Beatitudes. The Spirit aids us to live according to the words of Jesus. The Spirit helps us to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow me. The Spirit helps us to forgive 70 times, 7 times, et cetera, et cetera. So all of it has to be really engrafted into the Word of God, because in the Word of God, in order to live the Word of God, you have to deny yourself. If I'm going to be a person who follows the gospel of forgiveness, then I'm going to have to bite my pride. So there's a death to my pride, but a resurrection. Once I forgive, a resurrection to new life. And so there's always that dual dimension of living Christ. The Spirit helps us to not only understand that, enlightening our mind, but also gives us the strength to do it. How many of us or how many people really live a life of revenge and resentment because they haven't died to themselves yet. And so it's always measured, well, he did that to me, so I do that to him, or she said that, so I have to say that. And there's no life of the Spirit there. The life of the Spirit says, die to yourself, bite your pride, swallow your pride, whatever it is, forgive, and then you'll know the life of Christ in your own life. You'll be raised up to the level of resurrection. You have risen, and it's the Spirit that really helps us. So the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit that is given to us on this Pentecost, is deeply, deeply rooted in the Paschal mystery lived in our own life.
But we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, Bishop, when we were listening to the gospel. The Holy Spirit had the name of the Advocate. It was called the Advocate. And then you said also that the Holy Spirit goes by the name of the Consoler. And also another name still was the Paraclete. Has a Greek origin, the word does. So if we are doing our readings and we're seeing these names, these are just other ways to refer to the Holy Spirit.
Right. The Advocate and the, some say a Consoler, others say the Counselor, the one. You know, we see the Spirit as the one who is our helper and our guide. So in the sense of the Counselor or the Consoler is the guide, and the Advocate is the one who helps us, you know, our helper and our guide through life, and helps us with what? We can talk about all sorts of things, and maybe after we come back to the break, we can look at some of those different areas that the Holy Spirit can help us. But before we do that, it's just to first and foremost know that the Spirit reconciles us to Christ. The Spirit is first and foremost there to reconcile us in our minds and in our actions, our hearts to Christ. As Jesus said, He will remind you of all things. So in every moment that we're in a situation, we need to be reminded what we kind of say like a lot today. What would Christ do? What would Christ say? That's a reconciling us to His Word, not just thinking of, well, I think He would do this. No. What does His Word say? So and He also guides us to the truth. So the Spirit reconciles us to Christ in bringing us to remember what He said and doing as He did. And that's one of the first actions of the Spirit in our life.
Our Shepherd's View will be right back.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View on this Pentecost Sunday. I am Jesse DeLeon here with the Most Reverend Bishop Michael Mulvey. And before the break, Bishop, we were talking about the Holy Spirit and what it means and how do we listen to the Holy Spirit? How do we become more aware of the Holy Spirit? Let's talk a little bit more about how the Holy Spirit operates in our lives.
Well, we kind of began that looking at the Holy Spirit reconciling us to Christ in the sense of reminding us of what He has said and guiding us to the truth that Christ has given to us so that we enter more deeply into it. But there are other things that St. Paul and others speak of, the life of the Spirit, the life in the Spirit. And one of those is that the Spirit aids us in our weakness. And so we ask, well, where's our weakness? Of course, we have to look at ourselves always as human beings, as the created and not the creator, where we don't take on a false sense of pride and that we know it all, or et cetera. So that being said, then mentally we're weak at times. We don't quite understand. We don't grasp life at times. So the Spirit has the gift of wisdom to really see beyond just the human dimension of the happenings in life, or just beyond human knowledge. You know, it's not always about mathematics. It's not always about scientific discovery. And certainly the Church affirms all the research and everything that we do as long as it leads us to Christ. But we also need wisdom. We need a knowledge and an understanding of life beyond just a human understanding. The Spirit then brings that gift of wisdom and brings also the gift of understanding to be able to understand God's presence in our life and in our world, also the gift of knowledge. So those three gifts, really, wisdom, understanding, and knowledge, assist us in that that weakness of ours, of the finiteness of our human mind, and elevates it, you could say, to another level, to see beyond, to really look at the words of Jesus, again, reconciling us to his words and what Jesus meant, and say that there's more to life, there's more to our existence than just what we can see, feel, touch, etc. So it's the spirit that does that. We can also be weak morally, in our moral weakness. And so the spirit can also give us, brings as a gift, piety, a sense of prayer, of reverence to God. And once we reverence God, we reverence our own body, we reverence other people. Without the Spirit, then, it's like it's an open game. Anything's possible. Anything goes. And that is the destruction of the human person. It's destruction. It's a marring of our dignity as being created in the image and likeness of God and redeemed in His Son, Jesus Christ. And so with all the assaults that are present in our world today, all the temptations that are there, all the new technologies that are there that really entice the human person, wow, that looks kind of interesting. And so we go here, and before long we find that we've really lost ourselves, getting overly involved or attached to these things, addicted really to different things. And so in our moral life, we need to keep that spirit of piety, of reverence for God. Let God be God. When I'm doing confirmations, I usually say to the candidates for confirmation that this summer, go out and just gaze into a dark night sky and look at the stars. When there's no clouds, and I always say you may catch a falling star coming at you, or the moon, and just to realize that this is the work of God. This is the work of the Creator. No human being could put that together. That is the mastermind, you might say. And so there again, the gift of piety, which is a gift of the Spirit that comes from the Spirit, helps us to reverence God and His creation, and to have that fear of the Lord, which is also called wonder and awe, just to be awed by God. And that really then affects the way that we live our life, our moral life. People, I really think that people get into an immoral behavior because they have eliminated from their life that sense of reverence, piety for God, and the awe of God, of letting God be God. So the absence of God leads to a disordering of our human nature and the disordering of our moral life. That's why St. Paul would say in this area of weakness, it's when I am weak that I am strong. Because in being in touch and recognizing, admitting to, and affirming that we are weak in our mental capacity, in our moral life, and in our spiritual life, and even physically, that it's the Spirit then that strengthens us in our weakness. Now, we see a lot of times the signs, the words written in all sorts of places, which says that he assists us in our weakness, that when I'm weak, I'm strong. That's not just about building up physical muscles. It's also spiritual.
Character,
yeah. Another thing that that St. John talks about is that the Spirit convinces us about sin. Sin is the opposite of truth. It's the destruction of truth in our life. It's the elimination of God. And again, those gifts of piety and fear of the Lord really brings that to be recognized in us. The Spirit also brings the gifts of fortitude and counsel, good judgment. And when we're having to make decisions, which comes out through being convinced about sin and in our own human weakness and reconciling us to Christ, all these effects of the Holy Spirit, we need the fortitude, the strength, the courage to do what Christ is asking us to do.
Which may mean standing out and being the lone voice among a group of peers.
Absolutely. Especially I always feel so for the teenagers, because they're so assaulted by so many things that are opposite of Christ. And it's, it's hard to stand out. But this... I think for all of us listening, this is where the saints are so important to us in our faith, because they are our models. I don't know why I'm going to say this, but I think it's important for us to see, you know, people criticize Catholics for their statues and all this stuff. And I say, well, look at Washington, D.C. Look at the memorials that we put up. Mm-hmm. Look at the monument of Abraham Lincoln, the memorial of Jefferson. Why? Because we want to remember what these people have done for our country. We want to know in the war memorials that are throughout the mall there in Washington, exactly, what these fallen soldiers have done for our country, for freedom. Exactly. And so it's not unusual that we remember these people and their impact and their contribution to a country. And neither is it unusual that we would have a picture or a statue of a saint who is a soldier of Christ, we might say, who has given us a model of courage, of strength, of wisdom, of understanding, these gifts of the Spirit, because they've lived their life from their human weakness being embellished by the strength of the Holy Spirit in their lives. If you were to read the lives of the saints, look and trace where their human abilities, where their human weakness ended, and the rest is the life of the Spirit. And that's the virtues upon which the church then recognizes that there is a gift of the Holy Spirit. A young teenage girl just died a few number of years ago, 5, 6, 7 years ago, and is already blessed. Why? Because she accepted her two things. She lived a life of love, of charity, loving every neighbor, and that's all documented. But also in her deathbed with cancer, she simply said to her mother, don't be sad because I'm not sad. That's courage. That's wisdom. And so that is a model for us. That's the life of the Spirit to help us of our weakness, help us in our weakness, but also to convince us about sin. The Spirit also unites us. The reading from St. Paul today is that there are many gifts of the Spirit. There are some who are preachers. There are some who are mothers and fathers. And so it's not about, well, my profession is better than yours or my calling or vocation is, no. We're all called to embellish the beauty of the body of Christ with the Spirit in each of our roles, but it's the one Spirit of faith, one common baptism, that we are all united. And so the Spirit unites us, and I would say one last thing, because I know our time is getting short, that the Spirit also sanctifies us. The Spirit transforms us. As the priest holds out his hands over the gifts of bread and wine right before the consecration, he calls down the Holy Spirit to transform this bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ. The hands of the priest or the bishop are held out over the confirmation candidates to call the Holy Spirit to transform their lives. So it's the Spirit that transforms us into Christ, which means the Spirit sanctifies us. And so he is also the sanctifier. Much more to say, but I think we're running a little short.
On this Pentecost Sunday, so much to reflect on. Bishop, we thank you for your time and your insight. As we come to the end of our program, share with us now the sequence that we will hear at Mass today.
Yes, a beautiful poem that is read on great feast days. Today is the Veni Creator Spiritus. We'll read it in English. Come, Holy Spirit, come, and from your celestial home shed a ray of light divine. Come, Father of the poor, come, source of all our store, come within our bosoms shine. You of comforters the best, you the soul's most welcome guest, sweet refreshment here below, in our rest, rest most sweet, grateful coolness in the heat, solace in the midst of woe. O most blessed light divine, shine within these hearts of yours, and our inmost being fill. Where you are not, we have naught, nothing good in deed or thought, nothing free from taint of ill. Heal our wounds, our strength renew, on our dryness pour your dew, wash the stains of guilt away, blend the stubborn heart and will, melt the frozen, warm the chill, guide the steps that go astray. On the faithful who adore and confess you evermore, in your sevenfold gift descend, give them virtue's sure reward, give them your salvation, Lord. Give them joys that never end. Amen. Alleluia. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. Our Shepherd's View is a production of 89.5 KLUX and the Diocese of Corpus Christi's Office of Communications and Public Relations. You can hear the podcast of this program at goccn.org. Thank you for listening.